call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like
yo. Welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest, blackest, and funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight for the stop, going down. Audio shop talk right in your ear hole, brought to you by yours truly, Joseph Ward. And I want to say, if you in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and you at the gas station at the same time, my homie PC at the gas station, and he playing this real loud, and just at the point where you so happen to be stepping out your car, you hear this. Make sure you subscribe to my OnlyFans page at OnlyFans.com/SweetDickWillie. That's OnlyFans.com/SweetDickWillie, and that's for that person, maybe lady, who's listening to this as Professor Carl Tone Jones pulls up to the gas station in Philadelphia playing this really loud, and the lady walks out and walks by and hears this. Hey, you, yes, you, stop. OnlyFans.com/SweetDickWillie. Yes, and so welcome to the Fix Sports Podcast. Joseph Ward here, your tour guide through all of this past week's sports stories. But I'm going to give it to you how I give it to you. I will get down on the get down, to stay down, to be down. So, man, we got some good topics. Got some things that I'm finna bust your head wide open. We're going to have some fun with this. But, of course, you know, first, let you know that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go. The stories of the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora. And they give that to you through the On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the On the Shoulders of Giants blog, the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is available on the website at www.ontheshoulders1.com, the On the Shoulders of Giants online course, which is available on Patreon at patreon.com/OTSOG. Also, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, as well as face-to-face/virtual education classes right now in the middle of this COVID virtual classes. So, information that's just available, smartphones, you can access it through smartphones, smart boards, smart TVs, tablets, desktops, wall tops, floor tops, it don't matter. All you got to do is visit the website once again, www.ontheshouldersone.com, for the stories of the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora. All right. That's it. All right. What the hell are we talking about today now, Willie? What we talk about? What kind of topics do we got for the Fix Sports Podcast today? All right, so HBCU Spotlight, we got three things in the HBCU Spotlight, no? My island people accent is trash. So first thing in this thing is FAMU tackle Calvin Ashley declares for the 2021 NFL draft. Big Calvin! So Big Calvin say, man, we ain't playing. We ain't going to have no season. But you know what? I'm still going to the league. And you heard me? So Norfolk State's Jermaine Bishop signs a pro deal. My doggone pro. My doggone pro. My doggone, my doggone, my doggone pro. Along with FAMU's Bernie Robinson also signs a pro deal. Her name is Shalonda Bernie Robinson, is ready to start her pro career after an outstanding stint at Florida A&M. So that's HBCU spotlight. So HBCU news is North Carolina A&T still has a path for football in 2020 because they're still in the MEAC for right now, but the conference isn't playing. But A&T said, man, fuck this. We finna find a way to play football here. So I'm going to get into that. And then our stories, the meat of this, the stories is this tennis lady named Danielle Collins has been dismissed from the World Team Tennis Tournament for violating coronavirus protocol. Danielle, did you not wear your mask or not wash your hands? Danielle, what's going on? So Tracy McGrady and Jermaine O'Neal are getting together to launch a sports agency. And you know, man, we support black business around here, you hear me? So we're going to talk about that. New York Jets player, or Jets safety, current Jets safety, they beefing with the team. But Jamal Adams, he calls out the Jets owner, Woody Johnson, for alleged comments that are sexist and racist. Dun, dun, dun! Is that really what happened in the NFL? No, not in the NFL. Nobody's ever did anything sexist or racist or demeaning in the NFL. Not the NFL. And then some funny shit, but some shit I know everybody gonna watch, is Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. talking about they gonna fight. 8-round match, September 12th. Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. really going down. Who you think gonna win? Because I'm gonna tell you who I think gonna win. So then, you know, sports is back. I said, who's back? I said, sports is back. I said, who's back? I said, sports is back to the sports is back. I said, sports is back. I said, S-P-O-R-T-S is back. I said, S-P-O-R-T-S is back, but not football. Sports is back. I said, sports is back. So, we got NBA preseason scrimmages I'm talking about. We got WNBA opening day I'm talking about. And we got Major League Baseball opening day I'm talking about. That's how you know it's something, because I'm talking about baseball. So you know Corona didn't mess everything up, but guess what? I'm taking all the sports I can get. Sports is back. I said S-P-O-R-T-S is back. Not football just yet. All right. So the Ravens. Oh, and my weekly rant. My weekly rant is going to the girlfriend of Baltimore Ravens lineman DJ Fluka for an alleged alleged domestic violence incident, which, as I read further into it a couple days ago, was not the first alleged domestic violence incident. So basically, she beating up on DJ. So I said, I got to keep the same energy. So if I'm going to go, I'm going off on everybody who doing this domestic violence stuff. Everybody getting, nobody going to be spared. If you doing domestic violence stuff, you got to get it. You're going to be up in this rant. But guess what? Let's start the thing off right. Touch me with a best of the time. Show me what you got. Show me what you got. Do it yourself like this. With that HBCU spotlight, you hear me? So, FAMU tackle Calvin Ashley declares for the 2021 NFL draft. So, he's the former lineman that played at Auburn, right? And he came to FAMU, right? So, he made headlines last year, right? Transferring from Auburn to FAMU, right? So, one of the earlier, well, you know, a lot of players have done that for a while. I ain't gonna say one of the earlier, but a lot of players have come from the big D1 schools back down to HBCUs and stuff, right? Remember, what's his name? Casey Prentice came from TCU. He was LaDainian Tomlinson's quarterback when LaDainian Tomlinson was at TCU, Casey Prentice. And then he, I think for a senior season, he came to FAMU. So now the offensive tackle is planning to forego his senior season at FAMU and declare for the 2021 NFL draft. I mean, shit, well, his senior year at FAMU ain't going to happen. The MEAC not playing. Ain't no football. Unless y'all want that man to stay till 2021 and play in college in 2021, hey, man, go get your OSB. Unless you really, really need to come back. But if not, go get your OSB. So Ashley took to Twitter his decision to move on from Florida A&M after his long season in Tallahassee. He's 6'7", 335 pounds, offensive lineman. He quoted scripture and explained his decision. Due to the cancellation of our season in the fall, amen, I will spend this time training and preparing for myself mentally and physically. That's what he wrote. With that being said, I will forgo my senior season and declaring for the 2021 NFL draft. Nothing can stop God's plan for your life. Isaiah 14:27. And so here is, this is the full thing on Twitter. It said, first and foremost, I would like to thank God. You have given me the power to believe in myself and pursue my dreams. You have instilled faith into my life when I needed it the most. Amen. For that, I am forever grateful and will call you my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. We having church up in here now. Okay. I would also like to thank my beautiful wife. You have been my backbone, and I appreciate you and love you dearly. Amen. I would like to thank my adorable baby boy, Calvin Jr. You, Calvin Jr., you changed my life from the moment I first saw you. I am very blessed to be your father and love you, son. Amen. I would like to thank my parents for always pushing and believing in me, even when I didn't believe in myself. I love the both of you more than you will ever know. I also would like to thank my support system for motivating me and sticking with me through it all. Amen. I would also like to thank my coaches and teammates for your support. We will always, I mean always, be family. Due to the cancellation of our season in the fall, I will spend this time training and preparing for the best version of myself mentally and physically. With that being said, I will be foregoing my senior season and declaring for the 2021 NFL draft. I said amen. I cannot get an amen. I said amen. I cannot get an amen. When everything is dark and you can't see, and then everything is weary and you can't go. When you're feeling like that next step is too hard to take. When you're feeling like you can't make that left turn at that red light. When you feel like that door just ain't opening. When you feel like the light ain't coming on. When you feel like that thirst can't be quenched. When you feel like you just can't climb that mountain. And when you feel like you just can't go no more. You got to believe. I said you got to believe. I said you got to believe that God is with you. I said you got to know that God is with you. I said you got to remember that God is with you. I said you got to feel it that God is with you. And when the night come, and when that evil come around, and when they tell you that you ain't good enough, and when they tell you that you ain't smart enough, and when they tell you that you ain't fast enough, and when they tell you that you ain't smart enough, what they got to tell you, and what they forgot to tell you, and what they forgot to tell you is that God has ordered your steps. I said, God has ordered your steps, and then whatever God has set forth to be yours. Amen. My brothers and sisters, you have to remember that whatever God has set forth to be yours, it will be yours. Hallelujah. 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 So, one time, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor Pettigrew. Thank you. Thank you. That was spirited, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. I felt that, Pastor. Pastor Pettigrew made his guest appearance just out of nowhere in the middle of me reading my shit. But yeah, Calvin Ashley is leaving, and he's going to the pros. So, man, Calvin, I wish you the best, man. I wish you much success. Hey, man. Pancakes. That's all you need to know. And if you don't get it, that means he need to go out there and ball out. I'm just telling him ball out, pancakes, blocking the hell out of everybody. So, all right, so next, Norfolk State's Jermaine Bishop signs a pro deal. So Jermaine Bishop, Norfolk State's leading scorer, during the 2019-2020 season, has signed his first professional basketball contract. Yay, yay! Former Norfolk State men's basketball guard Jermaine Bishop embarked on his professional career this week when he signed with the Phoenix Hagen in Germany's 16-team Pro A League. Bishop, who had also entered his name into the NBA draft earlier this year, will head overseas for the 2021 season after completing his long season with the Spartans last year. He will join the Hagen program that competes in the second highest level among the six tiers of professional basketball in Germany. The first team All-MEAC honoree this past season, Bishop led the Spartans to a second place finish in the league with a 12-4 record. They went 16-15 overall, the eighth non-losing season in the last 9 years for the program before the season was shut down due to COVID-19. Jermaine Bishop competed for one season with NSU Norfolk State after sitting out the previous year following a transfer from St. Louis. Amen. Bishop averaged 15.6 points, 3.5 rebounds, 2.2 assists, and one steal per game in 2019-2020. He earned both NABC All-District 15 and Box Throw HBCU Division I All-American Second Team Honors after setting school record for three-pointers, which is 98, and topping the D1 record for free throw percentage at 85.5. He will join a long list of Spartan alumni who have played professional basketball over the years. Most recently, a total of 15 former Norfolk State players competed professional at some point during the 2019-2020 athletic season. So he's doing his thing, man. So that is Jermaine Bishop from Norfolk State. So Calvin Ashley, Jermaine Bishop, and then bringing up the rear is Shalonda Bernie Robinson is ready to start her pro career after an outstanding stint at FAMU. I said FAMU. I said FAM, goddamn you. All right, all right, all right. So former Florida A&M University women's basketball player Shalonda Bernie Robinson has signed a professional contract to play overseas with the Czech Republic team KPBRNO. Bernie Robinson played in 87 career games, starting in 56 from 2015 to 2020. She amassed 745 career points and shot 52.3%, 52% from the floor. Bernie Robinson grabbed 594 rebounds and registered 52 block shots, including 22 during her junior season. Last season, the Palmdale, California native recorded 10 double-doubles, including a 26-17 performance in the season finale against rival Bethune-Cookman. She finished her final season playing in all 27 games, leading the team in scoring with 10.7 points a game, field goal percentage with 52, field goals made 116, rebounds 214, and rebounds per game with 8.9. KPBRNO is coming off the second place finish last season, posting a 17-6 record. So Shalonda Bernie Robinson going to KPBRNO. Hey man, do your thing, Sean. Do your thing, Londa. Do your thing. Do your thing, Londa. Do your thing. Do your thing. Do your thing, Shirley. So man. So with that being said, what I want to do is have everybody put y'all hands together for Shalonda Bernie Robinson. Put your hands together for Jermaine Bishop. And put your hands together for Calvin Nasty. They going pro. I said Calvin going pro. I said the name going pro. I said Shalonda going pro. From HBCU, so you can go to pro anywhere you want to go. You just got to be a baller. One time for Calvin. One time for Jermaine. And one time for Shalonda. They going pro. They going pro. They going pro. And if you don't know, now you know, because they going pro. And if anybody try to tell you that you can't go pro from an HBCU, tell them they a bozo because they don't know. And Joe told you so. You heard me? You heard? Man, y'all bars. Bars. Y'all heard that, man. Bars. It flew it out my mind. It flew it out my mind. But sports is fight. But hey, man. That there. Yeah. I better do a little something like that for that HBCU spotlight there. All right, transition to some HBCU news. So, North Carolina A&T, like I told you in the rundown, still has plans for football in this 2020 season. I don't know. So, Hampton leaves open a Big South schedule. Will A&T be interested in filling the gap? What that mean? North Carolina A&T State University announced that it's holding a special athletics conference assessment committee meeting on July 28th. That meeting will be immediately followed by a special call meeting of the Board of Trustees. The agenda lists conference recommendation as a line item for the meeting. Many HBCU sports fans haven't paid attention to Board of Trustees meetings and announcements before until this year. The departures from the MEAC of North Carolina A&T, Florida A&M University, and Bethune-Cookman were all preceded by innocuous mentions of a special meeting. Then came the fireworks. Ba-boom! So we do not know what will be specifically discussed on Tuesday, but clearly it has to do with athletics. A committee meeting followed by a gathering of the Board of Trustees usually signals something to be voted on. So let's assume that there is a discussion, a decision of some significance on the table for Tuesday. You heard me? So this is happening Tuesday. So a devastated athletic director. Well, what that mean? So let's also engage in the thought in a thought exercise that this decision centers around whether or not to play the 2020 football season as an independent. There is no question that North Carolina A&T was devastated when the MEAC announced that it was suspending fall sports for the 2020 season due to concerns of COVID-19, which they should. In fact, North Carolina A&T Director of Athletics Earl Hilton had not yet recovered from the cancellation of the basketball season. North Carolina A&T held a press conference even before the MEAC held its own, and Hilton was visibly shaken by the news. He cried. Okay. Okay. These are not oh my goodness. I'm reading as Hilton crying. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
These are not opportunities that will come again for many. And many of these student athletes, I'll be there. You'll be there. But my seniors may not be. These are time limited. And they expire. It's not something we can say, let's do it again next year and come back and everything will be okay. And come back and everything will be okay. I clearly haven't recovered from the cancellation of basketball in March or indoor and outdoor track yet.
Okay. So while Hilton is obviously concerned about the health of his student athletes, he's also torn about the impact of the loss of the season for his players. Yeah, but their health is more important than the loss of this season, right? For some, it's an abrupt end to a lifelong journey with no closure. And for a select few, it could disrupt the potential of a pro career. So for sports like bowling, volleyball, and cross country, their model and structure depend a lot on the direction of the conference and the NCAA. Scheduling and championship formula is a standardized process, but there is a level of autonomy in football. If the Aggies choose to take it, there was a door of opportunity left open by an old folk. So when Hampton University announced on July 13 that it would suspend all fall sports over COVID-19 concerns, it left a hole in the Big South football schedule. The Big South announced that it respects Hampton's decision, but it intends to go on with this season as planned. Hampton was scheduled to begin conference play on October 10th with games against Gardner Webb, Campbell, Kennesaw State, Monmouth, North Alabama, and Charleston Southern. North Carolina A&T could choose to play out the 2020 football season as an independent and potentially pick up Hampton's abandoned schedule. The Aggies are scheduled to join the Big South in 2020 already, so it would be a back scratcher for both sides. So, North Carolina A&T has 8 MEAC games that have effectively been wiped out, and picking up Hampton's schedule will give it 6 games back. North Carolina A&T was scheduled to play out of conference, games, Charlotte Liberty and North Dakota State. North Dakota State and North Carolina A&T, that was going to be a good one right there. The CIA canceled its fall season along with the SEAC. But Miles College has maintained an interest in still playing. If the Golden Bears were to stack their deck, they could fill the place of Shaw on the A&T schedule. So basically, just in a nutshell, North Carolina A&T is trying to figure out what it can do to still play football. I still don't see how football is going to happen in this COVID outbreak. I just need to see it first, so. That there is HBCU news. North Carolina A&T said they're going to do what they got to do to play football this year. All right. There go Kawhi. What's up, Kawhi? What's up? Hey, Kawhi. Guess what? Danielle Collins was dismissed from the World Team's Tennis Tournament for violating coronavirus protocol. Right. So Danielle Collins is no longer participating in World Team's Tennis. She was dismissed from the event in West Virginia after announcing breaking the coronavirus protocol. The World Team Tennis revealed in a statement, the Orlando Storm team member left the Greenbrier Resort as well as the state of West Virginia, which is a violation of the current health and safety protocols in place for the players. We have dismissed Danielle Collins from the Orlando Storm for the remainder of the 2020 World Tennis Team season after breaking our COVID-19 protocols and leaving the Greenbrier Resort and the state of West Virginia, the WTT said. The protocols have been put in place and communicated numerous times to protect the health and safety of our players, coaches, and staff, which are of utmost importance to WTT. No further detail was given about where Collins was traveling or why she decided to leave the state. According to tennis.com, the Orlando Storm team found out about the protocol breach on Monday afternoon when she, Collins, was not available for a scheduled COVID-19 test. Where the fuck you went? God damn it. Where you went, Collins? She didn't tell anybody she was going anywhere. So you think you motherfucking thank you God, huh, Danielle? You think you can do what the fuck you want to do, huh? And just come back and give everybody COVID, huh? Sit your motherfucking ass down. You ain't playing tennis this shit. Sit your ass down. You just going to leave the shit. Just go do what you want to do because you think you God. You think you COVID-proof. Your ass ain't playing this shit. Sit your dumb ass down. So she didn't tell anybody she was going anywhere. We were having a blood test yesterday in the group chat. It's 3 p.m. and we're leaving at 3:30 p.m. And she's like, I'm in Charlottesville, Virginia. Her teammate, tennis surgeon, said, Storm coach Jay Gooden says he understood the decision WTT had to make. They had no choice but to handle it like that, from my understanding, he said. I think it was made pretty clear that people weren't allowed to leave the property, obviously for safety reasons. Gooden told tennis.com that he believes Collins left the area for nutritional purposes to get some food and supplements, and added that she is likely upset about the whole thing. I don't give a fuck about what she upset about. She knew the motherfucking rules. You can't just do what you want to do. You're an adult. Communicate. Maybe something can be worked out to get you what you need. But guess what? You didn't decide to communicate with anybody. You just decided to do what the fuck you want to do. So sit your dumb ass down. I don't give a damn about you being upset. You knew the goddamn rules. You ain't fucking special. Sit your stupid ass down. The 26-year-old spoke to CBS Sports prior to arriving to the tournament and expressed a multitude of measures she was taking to remain safe against the virus. You ain't taking shit. You out here fucking up and you putting other people in danger. Sit your dumb ass down. She drove to the tournament to avoid flying, brought her own gym equipment during the quarantine so she could stay home and was not visiting friends or leaving her house often, she said. But yet, you leave the fucking state and the premises, right? Collins, who is immunocompromised, told CBS Sports that the safety measures put in place by WTT made her feel comfortable about playing in the tournament. But you don't give a damn about other people's level of comfort. That's why you left the facilities and left the state and put everybody else in fucking danger of getting COVID. There are so many safety precautions put into place. It's going to create the utmost protective environment, she said. And I think everybody can feel comfortable and knowing that we're doing the right thing to make sure everybody's safe and healthy. But you're not doing the right things to make sure everybody's safe and healthy because you're leaving and you ain't even fucking communicating. You're a full-grown adult, full-grown 26-year-old adult, with a fully developed brain and understand protocols, but you decided not to communicate with anybody and just get up and leave the facilities in the state, putting yourself and others in danger of contracting COVID. Shut up. The WTT safety measures include regular COVID-19 tests, temperature checks, limited fans, no contact between players on the court, and making sure players stay inside the bubble that is the resort. So, hey, Danielle Collins, you fucked up. You thought you was above the law. You thought you was above the system. You thought because you brought your own little snacks and your own covers in and you drove up and you did your little stuff or whatever make you feel safe. And you thought because everything. You did all that, that you could just do what you want to do. I was malnourished. Damn, I couldn't get it out. I was malnourished, and I need to go get my stuff. So you're going to bring back COVID for everybody, little girl? Little girl, you're going to sit down and bring back COVID for everybody for some selfish reasons. All right. But guess what? Danielle Collins, guess what? Your ass ain't playing in this tournament. Peace. To the Middle East. To the Middle East. Danielle, go. Bye. Don't come back. You can't come back inside. We're going to throw your shit over the gate. You can't come back inside. You got that Rona, probably. You probably went out there and got that goddamn Rona. Now you want to come back in here and be around everybody else with that goddamn Rona? Danielle, peace to the Middle East, Danielle. You can't come back. That's selfish as fuck, Danielle. That's selfish as hell, man. But the best thing you should have did was communicate with somebody. Say, hey, this is what's happening with me. This is what I need. What arrangements can be made to make sure that I get what I need? Because I'm immunocompromised and I need certain nutritional supplements to help me. But now you decide to just do your own dumb shit and now you find yourself off the team. I don't feel sorry for you. I don't feel sorry for you, Danielle, because you know better. And you decide not to do that. There it is. So, let's move on to some better news. Some baller news. Some black business news. Support black business. Everybody hashtag support black business. So, former NBA All-Stars Tracy McGrady and Jermaine O'Neal are launching a sports ace. So, according to the Daily Press, Tracy McGrady and Jermaine O'Neal announced their thing like a couple days ago, like 3-4 days ago. The NBA Hall of Famer Tracy McGrady and six-time NBA All-Star Jermaine O'Neal will be representing players through a sports agency they will be launching together called 7-1 Sports Group and Entertainment. The name combines the jersey numbers of McGrady and O'Neal, the jersey numbers that they wore during their playing career. So, you know, McGrady was 1, Jermaine O'Neal was 7. So, we think it's needed. And we have a passion for it, McGrady said. We're around kids every single day because we have youth programs. It just makes sense. We see the lack of information that these kids are getting, so we would be doing a disservice to our people if we don't lend our expertise of what we know and help guide them. This is a calling that we have. There's no magic wand for this, O'Neal said. We're not trying to say we're the magic wand. But we're going to be different. You can't name another pair of people who have had the level of success and ups and downs that we've had in our careers. There were several links between the players. They both were drafted straight out of high school, and they shared the same agent and sneaker brand back in January of 1998. O'Neal was the 17th pick in the 1996 NBA draft by the Portland Trail Blazers, and McGrady was the 9th overall pick in 1997 by the Toronto Raptors. O'Neal was in the 96th draft by the Portland Trail Blazers. As for the challenges they will face while running a new player rep agency and going against other agencies that represent sports players, McGrady said, at the end of the day, they can't get all the players. Obviously, it's going to take us some time to get our feet wet and really understand how these things work. But we're not intimidated by anybody. There's going to be a lot of people trying to poke holes in this. So that's good, man. That's good. So what they said called 7-1. It's called 7-1 Sports Group and Entertainment. 7-1 Sports Group and Entertainment. So y'all be on the lookout for 7-1 Sports Group and Entertainment. Jermaine O'Neal, Tracy McGrady out there representing these athletes. Of course, you know they've been through it. They've been represented. Tracy McGrady he's in the Hall of Fame, so he's at some heights. Jermaine O'Neal been on good teams. Tracy been on good teams. They both balled out. They both did their thing. They both understand the league. They just need to understand player rep thing. I was hoping that they say they kind of studied that before they started the agency, but I don't know. Maybe they have. Maybe they haven't. Maybe this article wasn't the best in relaying that, but these brothers – doing their thing, man. Support black business, man. And black business should be doing black business with black people. So I hope everything works out for them. 7-1 Sports. What is it? I keep forgetting that. 7-1 Sports Group and 7-1 Sports Group and Entertainment. 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 That's the name of it. Look them out. Look up for them. Look out for them. Trace McGrady, Jermaine O'Neal, really going down in the South. So, that's what's up. All right. So let's get to some controversy. Right. So Jamal Adams of the New York Jets called out Jets owner Woody Allen for being racist and sexist. Against who? So this is a tweet by Jamal Adams. Right is right, wrong is wrong. If you think this is wrong, if you don't think this is wrong, you're part of the problem, not the solution. So what is he talking about? So Jets safety Jamal Adams took to Twitter on Wednesday to comment on a report that the State Department's internal watchdog investigated team owner Woody Johnson, the U.S. ambassador to the United Kingdom, for allegedly making racist and sexist comments to his embassy staff. We need the right people at the top, Adams tweeted, addressing an article detailed allegations. Wrong is wrong. On Wednesday, CNN reported Johnson made racist comments about black men, arguing the real challenge is that black fathers do not stick with their families, which is fucking false because you can look up the numbers. Black men are more likely to be in their children's life than any other men in America. So, Johnson also reportedly questioned why Black History Month was celebrated by black communities. All right. Woody Johnson, first of all, white fathers are trash. So let me put context around that, because that sounds stupid if I just say, white fathers are trash. So, but you got to have context, and you got to have knowledge, right? So are there some, there are fathers of all ethnicity, all races who are trash. Now, in this country, We have a long history of white fathers making babies and not taking care of them, especially when they make babies from black women, when they rape black women, and during slavery when they would rape the black women and make babies from them and just refuse to take care of the baby that they made through rape, right? And we know, like if you look it up, black fathers are more likely than any other fathers to be in their kids and their children's lives, right? And black people celebrate Black History Month because white people decided to omit black history from history books. So Dr. Carter G. Woodson in 1926 decided to go with Black History Week to make sure that black people have something, have time to learn about ourselves. And then expand it into Black History Month. And your crack ass don't have to like it. But the shit gonna be celebrated whether you like it or not. Black fathers are going to be in their children's lives whether you like it or not. So the fact that you're asking questions like that let me know that you are a dumbass. Maybe Jamal Adams is on to something. Let's continue to read. Johnson reportedly made derogatory comments about women, including about their looks. He allegedly said he enjoyed working with women because they are cheaper and they work harder than men. Johnson did not immediately deny the accusations, according to CNN, but later released a response on the Twitter page. I have followed the ethical rules and requirements of my office at all times, Johnson wrote. These false claims of insensitive remarks about race and gender are totally inconsistent with my longstanding records and values. Bitch, stop lying, allegedly. Allegedly, stop lying, bitch. So on Tuesday, the New York Times reported that Johnson tried to use his government position to try to secure an open championship at the Trump Turnberry Resort in Scotland. Johnson allegedly contacted Scotland's Secretary of State after President Trump requested a favor in February 2018. Johnson, who's 73, has been the owner of the Jets since he purchased the team for $635 million back in 2000. 2017, Johnson was nominated by President Trump to be the U.S. ambassador to the United Kingdom and was later sworn in by Trump and Vice President Mike Pence. His 3-year term is slated to end later this year. So Johnson got a lot of white supremacist ties. And it seems like he's tied to a lot of white supremacist comments and sexist comments. So Willie Johnson, you look like a little bitch right now. Willie Johnson, you look like a whole hoe out here right now. All the allegations against you got you looking like a whole hoe out here now, Willie. Right now, Jamal Adams looking like a real one now. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And Willie Johnson, you look like a little bitch out here, Willie Johnson. So this is something that needs to be investigated further by the NFL. Because it needs to be. Willie Johnson, man, what you got going on out here, man? You supposed to be a leader, bro. Now, if a player has look at what happened when DeSean Jackson posted what he posted about the Jewish community. Now, Woody Johnson needs to have a more severe punishment because he's a team owner. So I'm going to keep my eye out to see how Woody Johnson is disciplined, because DeSean Jackson was disciplined for reposting something about the Jewish community. So how is Woody Johnson going to be punished for this? We're going to keep our eye out for it. And if the NFL don't do nothing, they're going to find themselves in my weekly rant. Damn sure going to find themselves in my motherfucking weekly rant. Mm-hmm. Pussy clock. So the boxing world is all in a little frenzy right now. The boxing world is like, man, for real, bruh, for real, bruh. Mike Tyson is scheduled to fight Roy Jones Jr. on September 12th. When I first heard that, I think I was listening to The Breakfast Club. When I first heard that, my first thought was Roy Jones gonna get his ass whooped. That was my first thought. Even though Roy's last fight was 2018 and Tyson's wasn't, I was like, Roy can get his ass whooped. But let's read. So former undisputed heavyweight champion Mike Tyson is making the comeback. We saw that. Tyson, who was 54, will fight Roy Jones Jr. in an 8-round exhibition on September 12th at Dignity Health Sports Park in Carson, California. I think Roy Jones is 51. The bout will be broadcast on pay-per-view as well as multimedia platform Triller. According to a news release, Triller will also show a 10-part docuseries leading up to the bout. Smart. Very smart. Very smart. Tyson, whose record is 56-6, has caused a stir on social media the past few months as he posted footage of himself training. He last fought 15 years ago when Kevin McBride stopped Tyson in 6 rounds. Tyson, in an appearance on ESPN's First Take on Thursday, explained his reasoning for returning to the ring. It's because I can do it, and I believe other people believe they can do it too, Tyson said. Just because we are 54 doesn't mean that we have to start a new career or our lives are totally over. Not when you feel as beautiful as I do. I'm sure that other people feel the same way. I never took that many punches after the last fight I had. I left and I lived my life and I've been through more experiences and now I'm back here. I feel like I took better care of my body and my state of mind than most of the fighters before me that retired and came back. So Roy Jones, his record is 66-9. At his apex, was considered the most brilliant boxer in the sport, winning titles in middleweight, super middleweight, light heavyweight, and heavyweight. He had a sublime mix of speed, technique, and ring intelligence. Roy was that dude. Last month, Jones, who's 51, expressed interest in the possible bout with Tyson. I've been trying to enjoy retirement, but people don't seem to want to let me retire. Like I gotta say that. I've been trying to enjoy retirement, but people don't seem to want to let me retire. Roy Jones is hilarious when he talks. Jones said, they keep calling me, telling me that Mike wants to come back and that you'd be a great opponent for Mike. We always want to see it, but what I preferred back then, Tyson is a hell of a specimen still. Still a problem excuse me, still a problem to deal with, but at the same time, life is life. You only live once. You know that you want to know what it's like. You go in there and see, you got to see it. So Iron Mike was considered one of the most ferocious fighters in the world. He became the youngest heavyweight champion in the history at 20 years old and 4 months by stopping Trevor Burbick in the two rounds in 1986. Tyson then ruled the division with impunity, making 9 successful defenses and unifying the division before being upset by Buster Douglas in 1990. After spending 3 years in jail for a rape conviction, Tyson returned to boxing in 1995, then won the WBC and WBA heavyweight titles in 1996. Tyson's last true big fight came in the summer of 2002 when he was halted in 8 rounds by Lennox Lewis. As far as Jones, his career declined after he was knocked out by Antonio Tarver in 2004. That began a 3-bout losing streak, and a fighter who was once considered untouchable became more and more susceptible to getting knocked out. Jones' last appearance in a professional bout came in February 2018 when he defeated Scott Sigmund by decision. The last recognizable name on his ledger, Enzo Macronelli, knocked Jones out in 4 rounds in Moscow in 2015. Tyson didn't seem too concerned when asked about the risk he and Jones faces fighting whether they fighting at their respective ages. We're both accomplished fighters. We know how to take care of ourselves, he said. It's an 8-round exhibition, and listen, we'll be all right, trust me. We can take care of ourselves. In an interview with Yahoo Sports, Andy Foster, the executive director of the California State Athletic Commission, said that he believed there won't be headgear, but the boxers will use 12-ounce gloves. On Thursday afternoon, the Athletic reported that former NBA player Nate Robinson and YouTuber Jake Paul had agreed to fight on the undercard of the Tyson-Jones fight. And Nate Robinson, from my understanding, Jake Paul is an actual boxer, so Nate Robinson might get his ass whooped unless he's actually been boxed. For Robinson, a 3-time NBA slam dunk champion, this would be his first boxing match, so Nate Robinson will get his ass whooped. Paul has fought twice, most recently notching a first-round technical knockout of fellow YouTube personality Enzo Gibb, also known as Gibb, but maybe not, because he only fought 2 fights, so I don't know. But this is going to be funny. I ain't going to lie, I'm here for the shits. Why not? I'm about the shits. I'm about that bullshit. Why not be here for that? I'm down with Nate Robinson and Jake Paul. I'm down with watching Mike Tyson and Roy Jones. Nate Paul, Jake Paul and Nate Robinson, that's toss-up. I think Mike Tyson going to beat Roy Jones. I really do. So I'm here to see that shit, man. I'm going to destroy him. I'm going to eat him. Lennox is no conqueror. I'm a conqueror. You hear Mike on my intro, man. That's what's up, man. So I'm here for that. I'm here for the bullshit. I'm here for the shit. Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr., September 12th, really going down. Joseph Ward, I'm excited. I just can't hide it. I know. Ooh. So, let's talk about some sports. Why? Because sports is bike. Sports is bike. WNBA has returned. NBA preseason has started, and the MLB season has started. So let's start with the NBA preseason, right? So NBA preseason started on the 22nd, and we had the Clippers and the Magic, Nuggets, Wizards, the Pelicans, and the Nets, and the Heat, and the Kings. And then on the 23rd, we had the Bucks, Spurs, Pacers versus Blazers, Mavericks, Lakers, and Suns and Jazz. Then we had let's just start here. So on the 22nd, yeah, the Clippers defeated the Orlando Magic 90-99. The Denver Nuggets beat the Washington Wizards 89-82. The New Orleans Pelicans defeated the Brooklyn Nets 99-68. And the Miami Heat defeated the Sacramento Kings 104-98. On the 23rd, the Bucks defeated the Spurs 113-92. Pacers defeated the Trailblazers 91-88. The Mavericks defeated the Lakers 108-104. And the Phoenix Suns defeated the Utah Jazz 101-88. On July 24th, the Philadelphia 76ers topped the Memphis Grizzlies 90-83. Oklahoma City Thunder, they beat the Celtics 98-84. The Raptors beat the Rockets 94-83. So we got more games coming up. Lakers Magic, Bucks Kings, Heat Jazz, Nets Spurs, Clippers and the Wizards, Nuggets Pelicans, then you got 76ers Thunder, Suns Celtics, Pacers Mavericks, Trailblazers Raptors, Rockets Grizzlies. Coming up. So NBA, man, NBA preseason is back, and then next thing you know, the season's going to come back with an 8-game season, then we're going to the playoffs. So we're going to keep our we're here for it. Sports are bike. So the WNBA tipped off on Saturday, and I got a chance to watch the games. Well, I watched one game. For some reason, the other two games, they said they were supposed to show them, but they never showed the other two games. They never showed the Sparks and the Mercury or the Fever and the Mystics, but they did show the Storm and the Liberty. So it was also the debut of what's the young lady name? Onescu. It was her debut. And they say she dropped 18 points. Come on, what is this thing doing? This thing adding up. It ain't showing me like it wanted to show me. But Onescu dropped 12 points on her debut, but the Seattle Storm actually lost the game. So the Storm lost to the Liberty 80. Onescu made her debut for the Liberty. What messed me up is Onescu played at Oregon, and Oregon's colors are the same as the Seattle Storm. So I was thinking about Onescu in her Oregon uniform, but she plays for the New York Liberty. So she had, I forgot how many rebounds, but I know she had 12 points in her debut. But the Seattle Storm came out stronger. Brandon Stewart, Sue Bird, all of them, they came out, did their thing, and they topped the Liberty 87-71. The LA Sparks beat the Phoenix Mercury 99-76, and the Washington Mystics beat the Indiana Fever 101-76. So that's what's going down in the WNBA. And baseball, Major League Baseball opening day happened. That was opening day happened earlier this, Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday, last Wednesday. So it was the Yankees and the Washington team. What's Washington? Yankees and the Washington. And I don't remember who won. But let me make sure this. All right, so opening day scores, we got the Mets defeat the Braves 1-0. The Reds defeat the Tigers 7-1. The Blue Jays beat the Rays 6-4. The Marlins beat the Phillies 5-2. Indians over the Royals 2-0. Cubs over the Brewers 3-0. Red Sox over the Orioles 13-2. Rangers over the Rockies 1-0. Twins over the White Sox 10-5. Cardinals over the Pirates 5-4. Astros over Mariners 8-2. Pirates over the Diamondbacks 7-2. Dodgers over the Giants 9-1, and the Oakland A's over the Angels 7-3. What about the Yankees and the Washington? What was the score for that? I don't know why they ain't showing that, but the Yankees opened up against the Washington because, you know, Dr. Fauci threw out the opening pitch. So, let me see. Let me go. Yankees opening day. Oh, to Washington Nationals. Oh, yeah. So that's right. That's right. That's right. The game was shortened because of rain. The game was rained out. Washington and the Nationals. So, but Fauci threw out the pitch. So, yeah, so that's what happened. Baseball, man, that's what happened in baseball. Yankees in the Nationals game was rained out. So, but they were knocking them home runs, though. They got them knocking them goddamn home runs a lot before the game got rained out. So, that's what was going on with that, man. So, sports is bite. Sports is bite. All I want to say is that sports is bite. Sports is bike. Sports is bike. You heard me? One time for your mind, I want some fried fish. It's time for my weekly rant. And it's aimed at the girlfriend of Ravens offensive lineman DJ Fluker. Her name is Kimberly Davis for her domestic violence. Kimberly, why the fuck are you so violent? So Baltimore Ravens offensive lineman DJ Fluker has allegedly been a repeated victim of domestic violence, according to police reports obtained by Fox Baltimore. And I know a lot of people like, how could a man that goddamn big be getting beat on, because he don't beat women. Now, why is he still with her? Who knows? But clearly, he don't beat women. And because he a big-ass dude, but she's been abusive to him. But there's no excuses. Kimberly, you fucked up. Acting like a whole hoe out here, Kimberly. You fucked up, and we got to call you out for your domestic violence. Why could we keep that same energy? You looking like a whole Kimberly. You need your ass whooped and you need rehab. Keep that same energy. You need your ass whooped and you need help. You need counseling, Kimberly. So former offensive lineman DJ Fluker has allegedly been a repeated victim of domestic violence, according to reports obtained by Fox Baltimore. Law enforcement responded to an incident on July 13th that involved a 29-year-old informing police his girlfriend Kimberly Davis has assaulted him by punching him in the nose during a heated argument stemming from something that occurred on social media. The incident in question occurred in Reiterstown, Maryland, as Fluker readies to make his offensive line debut for the Ravens in 2020. Police also note the confirmation of the account by a witness and images of Fluker taken at the scene show him having a bloody nose along with blood on his hands from attempting to stop the bleeding. Davis denies she had malicious intent, stating she poked Fluker in the nose as opposed to punching him as alleged. The police arrested Davis at the scene and charged her with second-degree simple assault. Good. Good. Arrest her. Arrest her ass. Charge her. Charge her. Press fucking charges. The Ravens are aware of the incident. They're saying, we have been in regular communication with DJ regarding this matter and will continue to monitor the situation, team said in an official statement. Fluker also advised police the incident wasn't the first time Davis was allegedly assaulted. I mean, Davis has allegedly assaulted him. In a video obtained by Fox Baltimore, shows Davis reportedly striking Fluker in June in another heated argument rooted in the care of their daughter. Not, yes, and I saw that video, and she was jabbing his ass. And I'm not saying that in a comical way, but I'm saying she was jabbing the fuck out of that man. And I'm sitting there thinking, keep your motherfucking hands to yourself, lady. What the fuck is wrong with you? And see, I don't want anybody to try to make any motherfucking excuses for this lady's behavior. No excuses can be made for this woman's behavior. I don't want to hear no emotions, none of that shit. I don't give a fuck. There's no reason to put your hands on somebody other than to defend yourself, and I don't give a fuck who you are. There are no exceptions. There's no reason to put your hands on somebody unless you're defending yourself. And I'll say it again, there are no exceptions. So this incident with Fluker is in the same breath as that of Ravens teammate Earl Thomas, and I don't think it's in the same breath. but this is what the article is saying. After allegedly holding a gun to his head following an accusation of infidelity, Thomas issued a statement not longer after news broke of the altercation. And that's the main thing. We have no accusations of infidelity in this with DJ Fluka. So this is just her being immature and not being able to control her fucking emotions and keep her goddamn hands to herself. Kimberly Davis. Instead of talking about us, just keep us in y'all prayers, Thomas said. So forget that. So DJ Fluka himself has not issued a statement on the charges. And the charges on Davis are pending. So I just saying, like, there are no exceptions. Domestic violence is not tolerated. It's not accepted. There are no exceptions. Nobody, male or female, or whatever you consider your gender or your sex, whatever you consider it to be, keep your motherfucking hands to yourself. There are no exceptions. Nobody has the right to put their hands on anyone. I don't give a damn what the situation is. If you can't control your emotions, you don't need to be interacting with other human beings. I don't give a fuck what you was taught. Putting your hands on somebody is not the way you try to communicate your frustration or try to get something going on. I do have a problem, though, with society making excuses for women putting their hands on men. I do have a problem with society making light of women putting their hands on men. And that's why I made mention of man's size earlier, because a lot of people will try to dismiss it as, hey, he too big, he can take it. No. Fuck that. I don't give a damn if this man was 99 feet tall and she was 2 feet tall. Keep your motherfucking hands to your motherfucking self. Domestic violence is not tolerated. She needs help. Clearly, she has issues with her emotions. Clearly, she has issues. And she needs to get help. She needs to get counseling. She needs to be on somebody's couch, get therapy from somebody, because something is wrong in Kimberly's head for her to believe that physical violence is the way to correct things. That's a grown-ass man, and you feel like you can put your hands on a grown-ass man. Now, if BJ Fluka would have put his hands on her, people would have been outraged, because he's a big-ass, strong-ass offensive lineman, and he could beat the shit out of her. But if you look at, there's a video, like they spoke about, a video of her punching him in the face. She just repeatedly hitting that man and repeatedly hitting him. And he's like, stop. And she's just going at it enraged, just repeatedly hitting him. And it's just like, I'm not going to pretend to try to say that I understand people who are going through domestic violence. So I can't give an explanation of why he stayed in the vicinity of her while she was beating on him. But all I know is that's not right. That's not okay. That should not be tolerated, and it will not be accepted. And Kimberly Davis, you are in the motherfucking wrong, and that's why you are in this weekly rant. Because I got to keep the same energy that I give men. When I hear about men in domestic violence situations, I don't spare no bones. I don't hold no punches. So goddamn Kimberly, not sparing no bones, not holding no punches, no hold barb. You fucked up. Something is clearly wrong with you, and you clearly need help. It's not even funny. You clearly have emotional issues, and it's manifesting in you being physically violent with the man that you claim to love. I don't care if you're male or female, you becoming physically violent is a total indication that you clearly don't know what love is. It's an indication you clearly have no idea what love is if you think physical violence should be accepted. You clearly have no idea. Kimberly Davis, man, look, you need help. But in the same energy I've been giving to men, you need your ass whooped and you need counseling, therapy, all that shit. straight up. Because clearly something is going on in you. Clearly. Maybe you grew up around it. I don't know. But getting violent and physically aggressive and physically violent with people is not the way to express anger, guilt, distrust, being upset, being disappointed. Physical violence is not the way to express that. I don't play that shit. I don't even like to play games where people hit me. Last girl I was dating, and she wasn't being malicious about it, but I just had to let her know from where I come from my background. I don't, even though you're playing and when you laugh and you like to hit people, don't hit me. Don't hit me, because the background that I come from, you hit me, I hit back. Mostly with men. So I come from a very aggressive background. I come from a background where motherfucker, if you were soft or seen as soft, people are going to physically assault you. So you had to prove yourself. And a lot of times people would just come up and just hit you out of no reason because they thought you were soft. And you had to prove yourself. So that's my mindset when it comes to that. So that's why I don't like people hitting me, because it takes me back to a time where clearly I'm not over, but it takes me back to a time, and I don't like to be taken back to that time. So that's why I don't like physical violence. But across the board, physical violence don't solve shit. It don't solve shit. It makes shit worse. It turns it into a subordinate, insubordinate situation. Somebody's dominating, somebody's dominating, and somebody's being subjugated. And that's not healthy. That's not a healthy relationship. So I wish you all the best. Definitely praying for y'all. Y'all need help. Kimberly Davis, you need help. Definitely need help. Need your ass whooped and need help. Keeping the same energy I'm giving everybody else. And that there, my friends, is my weekly rant. And this is episode 22 or 23, one of them two, of the Fix Sports Podcast. Remember, support your homeboy on Patreon at patreon.com/fix. Once again, that's patreon.com/fix for these full videos. For those who are listening to the audio, remember you can catch this on all your favorite podcast outlets, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Radio Public. Whatever you listen to, you find this podcast. And, of course, you know, you visit our website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, your home for the Fix Sports Podcast and your home for the Freedom Train Network, where we deliver media that's designed to free your mind. I am Joseph Ward. Amen. I'm Joseph Ward, two fingers in the air like a player, because y'all know I'm up out this yacht.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nassau. There's no one that